live from Atlanta, Georgia. It's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I'm your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We've got a great guest. Before we dive into that, we are streaming live via YouTube. Got any questions? Put them into the comment box. We'll make sure to get to them. You guys can always email me, Zach@ZachBallinger.com. As you guys know, we've embarked on this journey to create a library of over 800 careers across North America. We're well on our way. We've almost got our 80th-something recording. And today, we have another special guest who will be added into that career library. Aaron, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Aaron, can you tell us a little bit about your career?
Sure. Well, for those of you who that are interested, my name is Aaron Peterson. I am a solutions engineer for a company called Mechdyne. We are based in Marshalltown, Iowa. And what we do is we are an audio video integrator, which is basically a fancy word for saying we install and design and build custom AV systems for a lot of commercial clients. So our bread and butter is kind of some large scale visualization systems, but we do everything from conference rooms to even large scale auditorium AV systems.
You have a unique job title. What is it exactly?
Yeah. So I'm a solutions engineer, which it depending upon the firm you look at is also called a pre-sales engineer. So it's my job to talk with our potential clients pre-sales, figure out the system that'll work good for them, and then price out a system that would be perfect for what they need it to do and price it out so that our delivery team can actually deliver it and quote it properly.
You know, and part of what I love about this library is I learn every day too. And so excuse my ignorance, but when you say what kind of engineering did you say?
So it's pre-sales engineering.
So solutions.
That's my title. Yes.
So is that a particular engineering field that they teach in a college, or is that a corporate term?
No, it's kind of more of a corporate term. We help develop the overall solution for the end user is really what it boils down to. Personally, my degree is actually, I went to school for aerospace engineering. I went to school here in Iowa at Iowa State University. And then after that, I took a few years trying to find my first, I guess, professional job or post-college job. And Mechdyne was hiring, and I thought this was a perfect way for me to take my audio video experience that I had and my engineering background and put the two together for what kind of is now my career.
So you'd help people design kind of like AV and audio solutions for either their business or their home. Is it more business based?
So Mechdyne is all commercial based. It is all business. However, there is a whole industry that does residential AV. A lot of people don't realize that the AV industry is even an option for them as a career path. So one of the reasons why I was glad you reached out to be on your show was I would like to just inform people of the many different options that the AV industry has, because you asked about my education background and there isn't really much AV professional training out there. There's a few schools that offer like recording training for people that want to do mixing behind a recording console or live music design. There's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of technical like theater design, but it's a lot more work experience and kind of learning on the job more than it is sitting in a classroom and learning from that point of view.
And so when you say AV, you're obviously meaning audio and visual solutions, correct?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Gotcha. And so let's say that someone's listening to this and they want to know, like, what does it look like behind the curtain? So they're going to spend a day with you, Aaron, or a week. Let's say they spend a week with you. And can you kind of sum it up what a job shadowing experience would look like? Say somebody gets up with you in the morning and then leaves the office with you. What does it look like?
So I actually have a bunch of different projects at different stages. And so my day to day is trying to pick up these projects at their various stages and keep moving them along the process. But a typical project process usually is that one of our account managers has a client that has an AV need, whether it's, like I said, a meeting room or just some sort of AV. They'll bring me in to start having more of the technical conversation with them. So I get brought in, say, hey, what are you looking for? What is it that you want the room to do? What kind of inputs and outputs do you want the system to do? And just kind of have a conversation with the client to figure out what their overall vision is of what they want us to provide for them. And then throughout that, I usually take a lot of notes. If I can take pictures of the space, I try to take as many pictures as I can, measurements. Obviously, I don't want to spec a display that's physically too big that won't even fit in the room. So I make sure I take a lot of good, accurate measurements. Also for speaker design, I have to make sure that I have the right speakers for the environment. And so I take as many notes and pictures as possible. Then I bring that back here to my office where I will either mock up the room or figure out the equipment that is going to be needed to solve what the problems are that the client has.
Gotcha. So let's say a millennial's out there listening to this and they kind of find it interesting and they're interested in it. Like you said, there's not a real curriculum for it. So how would someone go about getting into this particular field?
What I would probably recommend is really get started as an installer, especially if you're looking at more of the integration business. I always say that the best people to learn about the process and the projects that happen, you got to start kind of as an installer. And then after a few years of that, if after you kind of wrap your head around what's going on, I do recommend that you can then go into more of a designer role, because the best designers have spent the time in the field being an installer. Some of our installers that want to go into more of a control programming side, because right now a lot of people don't realize that there is a lot of control programming to make sure all these systems work together. There's a big back end of that that a lot of people don't see, that these sophisticated systems have a touch panel on it that need to be programmed. And so that's a whole another application of our AV systems.
So, and to keep it simple for my audience, let's say if I was trying to equate an example of an installer, it would be like a Comcast or DirecTV person coming out and actually physically doing the install. Is that correct? What you mean?
Yep, that, or and also including like the person that mounts your display above the fireplace, that kind of thing, and runs the cables for the speakers in the ceiling or the walls for whole home audio, if that's what you're doing.
Gotcha. What do you love about your job?
I love that no project is exactly the same. That's my biggest thing, is even though clients might at first say they have the same problem that I've heard before, after you start talking to them, every organization has their own ins and outs and what their needs really are. And so even if I use the same components or similar components from job to job, there are still differences. And so because of that, it helps keep the monotony is pretty much non-existent.
Have you ever worked with any podcast shows, out of curiosity?
I have been on a couple podcasts, and we've actually have done systems. We've built systems for people to record podcasts. Yes.
Wow. Cool. And so what is something that's difficult about your job? So, you know, everybody has something difficult or challenging about their job. What is it for you?
Probably the hardest part is just to keep up with all the different technology. There's so many different manufacturers coming out with different products, and figuring out the applications of each product for what is it good for, what are the shortcomings, why would you use one product over another? That's the challenging part.
Obviously, you've kind of found a niche for yourself, and you really are passionate about this line of work. What kind of skills does someone need to be successful like yourself in this type of work?
Well, as I said, there's a lot of different roles. So if you're a very people person, you can work directly with the end users trying to figure out what they need or what they kind of are desiring. But then there's also the technical roles that are setting up the equipment and actually installing everything. It's actually becoming more and more network centric. So a lot of people that have a background in IT and networking is actually really in demand right now as well.
Gotcha. And, you know, what did you dream about being as a kid? You know, if you can remember back, if we take you in a time machine, take you back to third, fourth, fifth grade, did you have a dream career?
Well, I always loved, I ran sound, live sound at our church and lights and stuff in high school. So I always had a background in AV. I really didn't think there'd be much money making it, like to do it professionally. And so I went into, that's why I went into aerospace engineering. But then I was happy to find an organization that would allow me to kind of do both.
Yeah, that was my next question for you, really, was why did you choose aerospace engineering? And then what was your kind of goal going into that at that time?
So originally, when I first went to college, I was technically what they called engineering undeclared. I hadn't declared a specific engineering major. Aerospace actually had a reverberation and acoustic specialization. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. So I wanted to go through that. Well, as I progressed down there, the professor that had that specialization moved to mechanical engineering. And I actually started to specialize in aircraft structures. Was kind of my specialization to learn about aluminum and carbon fiber structures and how aircrafts were designed for that. And I really thought I was going to go into something with that. And then apparently that was not destined to be my final position.
And so it's interesting to me is if you look at your background and throughout your whole life, it kind of seems like you've had the sound visual type passion.
I have, yeah. And it's something that I've been doing, like I said, through church and then middle school and high school. And even in college, I tried to help out doing AV work as just a local stagehand when the big touring productions would come in, which is another job a lot of people don't realize is necessary. Is a lot of people, there's probably 100 people at every concert that you don't see that are required to put on a show. And even so there's the touring crew, there's probably 20 to 30, but then there's a local crew that really have to put in the grunt work to get that show loaded in, set up and running on time, and then loaded out after the night's done. There's a lot of positions in AV that a lot of people don't think about that are very successful careers.
And yet if they don't know what careers are out there, how do they find them? And that's one of my soapboxes, I guess, you know, like,
right.
You know, a lot of students wouldn't even know that there was AV jobs out there to have, like you said, you know, even for you being in the background, you were like, well, I don't think I could get a full-time job in this and make a decent income.
Yeah. And even higher ed right now, one of the big things in the AV industry is a lot of higher ed institutions have their own AV team that manages and maintains all the AV equipment on a college campus. Some of these college campuses have 100, 200, 300 classrooms that need projectors and microphones and cameras and recording equipment now. And especially now with the pandemic going on, I truly believe that every one of these systems is going to have some sort of recording capability in them.
Yeah, it's interesting. Before the pandemic, I was going around to colleges and speaking at high schools and different events, corporations, nonprofits, but a lot of colleges, and even some of the technology they used to record me via video and audio was all run in-house.
Yep.
So you're exactly right. It's never seemed to be contracted. It seems like they have their own little department, and then they employ a couple of students maybe to help out. But yeah. You have a great point, though.
And that's a really big thing for the students, because a lot of student workers that are just there to help out, just to have a job and earn some extra bucks, can then go into maybe a design role and design some of the systems. And they can also then go work for an integrator after they graduate.
How long have you been doing this?
I have been with MechDyne for 8.5 years, being a design engineer. Before that, I was kind of doing some stuff freelance. I did some a lot of stagehand work for a buddy of mine who did a lot of live events. And so I've been, like I said, I've been doing this really probably maybe from a non-professional thing, maybe about 20 years.
Seems like you were kind of born to do this in a way. It's quite amazing. I'm pretty impressed by it all. Now, some people, you know, I encourage my students, unless they have a passion for a blue collar field, such as like welding or auto mechanics. Of course, you know, you don't have to get your degree to do that. You might have to get a different type of schooling. But I guess some of my students would challenge me and ask, you know, well, why did Aaron need to go get his degree and how did it help him in the real world? Can you help me with that?
So in the AV industry, the having a degree does open some doors, especially in a world right now where you have essentially computers scanning resumes for people. If you don't have a bachelor's degree, just of any kind, it'll just throw you away. And so just having that degree does help open some doors. In the AV industry, is a college degree absolutely required? No, it's not. And it, having the good attitude and having a passion for learning and learning the technology and being technical and wanting to get other certifications. Like personally, I have a CTS and a CTSI certification. Those are done by a group called AVIXA that manages the commercial AV industry. And so having those types of certifications helps me professionally if I wanted to use that as reference for bidding on jobs. A lot of jobs that we bid on have to have so many people that are CTS certified, so many people that if it's a Crestron job have to have Crestron certifications. And so I try to get as many manufacturer certifications to help not only me personally in my career, but also my company as well.
Awesome. Now, where can people find you? So, you know, let's say somebody's listening, they're more interested about this career, or they would like to follow you on social media. What are the best avenues to do that at?
Sure. So I am on LinkedIn at @AVAP. And then also on Twitter, my Twitter handle is @AVAP.
And guys, you always ask me, when I'm out there, well, who do I link in with? You know, most of my guests have always offered up their LinkedIn accounts, and Aaron just did. So, you know, he's another connection you guys can make, especially if you're interested in this type of career field, or it maybe you may be just interested by it and want to follow him on there and just kind of, you know, take it in and learn a little bit about it before you go on to your next journey. It's always good to have different careers in mind. So Aaron, we did have a few questions that did come in. And okay. So we wanted to ask those. The first question comes in: have you ever done any audio, sound, visual for live big concerts?
I've helped load in some big concerts, but I personally was not the one behind the mixer. So usually what happens, one of my fun things was one of the first large shows I did here at Iowa State was help load in Metallica, for example. Well, Metallica, I helped load in some of the big speakers and set it up, but they actually have their own front of house guy who travels from show to show to make, and he's actually been with them for, I think, 20 or 30 years. Like most big bands have their own touring crew that runs it day to day. So unfortunately I've not personally mixed for some of these big bands, but I have loaded them in.
Nice. And the next question says, do you have to find your own clients or are they given to you?
Well, here at MechDyne, we do have our own account managers that go out and try to find their clients. Luckily, we're a big enough organization that I personally don't have to go out and do the legwork to do that. There are a lot of smaller firms where, heck, even like the main owner might be the one running around trying to find clients. And if it's a small enough firm, that there's a ton of those out there that they do that.
Next question comes in for visual. What does that mean by setting up visual opportunities for businesses?
Well, so anywhere from like a meeting room where it could be just a single large flat panel display on the wall to projection. Mechdyne does a lot of visualization systems. So we focus on higher end. Oftentimes it's projectors, but we'll do flat paneled tiled arrays like you often see in like malls. You'll see a bunch of displays kind of tiled up and to make one big image. We do a lot of those. And then also the direct VLED that you're starting to see more prevalent in malls and bars and that kind of stuff.
Well, Aaron, this has really been fascinating. We know you're a very busy professional. We really appreciate you joining the Career Library. We think this initiative is going to help a lot of students for a long time to come. We're excited to have you into that episode edition of this particular career. Thank you so much for joining the show today.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So guys, again, Aaron's got his Twitter and his LinkedIn. We'll make sure to put them into the comment box. Until then, until the next show, stay safe and we'll see you guys soon. Take care.